It's always a great encouragement and privilege that God blesses us to have from week to week to be able to assemble together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'll just readily admit that if I can't preach after singing like that, then I probably have no business preaching. You're an encouragement to me, and I hope that you know that. I hope that we encourage one another as we strive to serve God and to do the things that God would have us to do. This morning I want to talk with you for just a little while about a very important topic. In fact, anything that we could open up the pages of the Bible and study is important. All of them are important topics, but especially this one, because so many times we have a problem just not doing what we ought to relative to what we're going to talk about this morning. Some individuals may have a more difficult time along the lines of what we'll discuss than others do. This is very easy of a sermon for individuals to really see the sermon for everyone but themselves. And so I hope that you won't approach this topic in that light, but that you'll make personal application, that I'll do the same, and we'll grow into do the things that God would have us to do. This morning I want to talk with you about our tongue. This is a two-part lesson that I put together. I can't remember if I've preached this here without going back and looking. But the first 5 points had to do with things that we ought not to use our tongue for. And then the next points, to finish up part two of this lesson, had to do with things that we ought to use our tongue for. Sometimes individuals have a problem with the tongue. It's not easy to always control our tongue. Our brother did a very good job in reading the first 10 verses of James chapter 3, where he talks about our tongue, that though it is a very small member. So I want us to think about some things in which we ought not to use our tongue for. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and in verse 13, as Paul is writing to the saints at Rome, he says, "Neither yield ye yourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Again, in the book of James chapter 3, he identified that the tongue is a little member, James 3 and then verse 5. "And boasted great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And so I want us to think about our tongue for just a little while this morning. The Lord stated in Luke 6 and in verse 45 that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, remember the last part of that, the mouth speaketh. I hope that you agree with me when I say that it matters what we say. That it matters how we use our tongue. In fact, the wise man penned in Proverbs 18:21 that life and death, or death and life, he says, are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can be used to much good, or the tongue can be used to much evil. And so I want us to think about the way that we ought to use our tongue this morning. Or the way we ought not to use, rather, our tongue. The first one that I want you to think about is found in our scripture reading in James chapter 3. Let's notice verses 9 and 10 together. James 3, 9 and 10. He's talking about the tongue and he says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing." My brethren, now notice what he says, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." It's a sad situation when men will find the time to try to praise and offer good things and thankfulness to God, and then turn around out of the same mouth and curse men or speak evil of others. James says those things ought not so to be. We need to pay attention to that. And I know that there are individuals who do that. The word curse in this passage comes from an original word that simply means to detest utterly, to execrate, by analogy to doom, to abhor, to abominate, to curse, to imprecate evil upon, to damn, and to denounce. I've listened to people along the way that can't seem to find it in themselves to say anything good about others. Do you know people like that? You try to divert their attention from that sort of thinking, and it's not long before they try to get right back in the path of talking evil about others. We ought not be that way. Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice what the Bible says in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." Folks, I'm not talking about those who are worldly. I'm talking about members of the body of Christ that seem to have a problem with the tongue. He says, don't be that way. As we lay aside malice and we lay aside all guile, and as we lay aside hypocrisies and envies, we need to be laying aside all evil speakings. We need to mark that and learn it, and to learn it well. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "For he that will love life and see good days." You know, I'd like to love life and see good days, wouldn't you? Well, notice what he said. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." In Proverbs 11, verse 9, the wise man penned, "A hypocrite." That's a strong word. The Lord used that over and over in Matthew chapter 23, which was a reprimand on the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees. Over and over he would say, "Ye hypocrites." Remember that? The wise man said in Proverbs 11, 9, "A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Again, that's Proverbs 11, verse 9. In Proverbs 15, verse 28, you might want to hold your place in the book of Proverbs. We'll make our appeal to it at least 9 times in the sermon this morning. Proverbs 15, 28. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." I hope that we can't be reading these references and find ourselves pictured in those verses, but that we're choosing to refrain our lips from evil and not speaking God. Have you ever heard that phrase, "If you can't say something good about someone, don't say it at all"? I don't know how old that is, older than I am. Without doubt, that probably came from Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 29. When Paul was writing to the saints at the city of Ephesus, and notice what he said, Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 29. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That word edify means to encourage, to build up, to strengthen. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I want you to think about that. I need to think about that. The next time that I decide that I'm going to open my mouth and speak what's on my mind. Folks, I have family members. You do too, no doubt. There's people in the church that I've heard say, "I'm just a person that speaks on my mind. Don't pay me any attention." You better watch that. I better watch that. If what's on your mind will not build someone up and encourage them and provoke them to do good and service to God, then you better not speak it. And I better not either. Someone says, "Well, then you can't tell anyone the truth." The truth is what edifies us. I know that's the case because Paul, talking to the elders of Ephesus, stated in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." The truth will raise and exhort someone. Must be said with love. Yes, it's important what we say, and it's important how we say what we say. But again, the point is, Ephesians 4:29, if it's not going to minister grace to the hearers, if it's not going to build and edify them up, then don't say it.
We need to watch that. Not talking to people of other congregations. I'm not there. I'm here. Someone said, might leave the bill and say, "Preacher, is he talking to me?" Absolutely. It's a service for you and it's for me. I'm not talking to the walls. Teach others. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. In verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Then he wraps it up, verse 32, by saying, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'll tell you, when you go back to the book of James, chapter 3, and he talks about the tongue, and he says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, verse 5. And then in verse 6, the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It does a lot of destruction to the soul of an individual. But I will tell you that it will do a lot of destruction in the local body of Christ when the members cannot control their tongue. Cannot say good to one another. Better watch that and be careful about the things that we're saying. Over in the book of Titus chapter 3 and in verse 2. Titus chapter 3 and in verse 2. Let's get back to verse 1 and that'll set the context a little more. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. There's not a person that's exempt from that. And what I mean by that is, not only is there no one exempt from obeying this, but there's not a person that is exempt from our refraining to speak evil of. Be it those that are in rule, positions of authority and rule. No, we might not like what they do. We might not condone what they do. We might not like the laws that are passed and so forth. But don't speak evil of an individual. That's what he's saying. Don't be like that. You can stand in opposition to the false doctrine. You can stand in opposition to what they're doing that opposes the truth and the Word of God and speak out against those things. That doesn't mean that we have to speak evil of others. Let me ask you a question before we move to the next point. Can you see yourself in any of these passages? Can I? Can it be said about me or of me that I speak evil of other people? Can it be said beginning with me and all the way around the room, all the way to the last of us? Can it be said that we have been speaking in a discouraging way to others that attend here, maybe elsewhere? Need to think about that. I do too. And lift up one another's hands. So we ought not use our tongue to curse men and to speak evil of men. Number two. This one is found throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that is that we are not to use our tongue to lie. Pretty strong, isn't it? The Bible condemns lying. I'm sure you are aware of that. Over and over, the Bible talks about not lying. Many today practice this sin. Not only out of the Lord's church, but even in the body of Christ. Not telling the truth. I've heard it said about members of the body of Christ, you can't believe anything that comes out of their mouth. That's sad. That ought not be said about God's people. Lying is one of the things mentioned which the Lord hates. Remember that in Proverbs chapter 6? When He gives a list of things, makes a good sermon to look at the things which God hates. I think I preached that on the radio and TV. I'm not
Sure, if I've done that from the pulpit. These six things, Proverbs 6:16, doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Take a note. And notice what occupies number two on this list. Number one, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. A lying tongue. You think about what damage that lying causes. Has from the very beginning. God had said, we shall not eat, Eve said in Genesis 3. Ye shall not surely die, the devil said. There's a sermon that I love to preach. God said, then came along the devil. He's still at it today. God said, then the devil came along. These six things doth the Lord hate in Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 25, Ephesians 4, and in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And so if we practice lying, if we're in the habit of lying, we seem to find it difficult to tell the truth, and we need to make some adjustments. You agree with that? We need to make some changes. Put that away from us. In John 8:44, the Lord was talking to these individuals on this particular occasion, and He talks about them being the children of their father, the devil. He says, ye are the of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Do you ever wonder how the devil was a murderer? Who did he kill? Who did he kill? Adam and Eve died spiritually, and as a result of what they did, physical death passed upon them. They were separated from God as a result of their sin. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it. It's pretty strong words. He's telling them, this is what the devil does. He's a liar and the father of it. And you are of your father, the devil. How would you like to be told that? In Revelation 21:8, I want you to see the point that lying has eternal consequences. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so folks, if we're in the business of lying, we need to nip it. We need to do that now. Stop it. And get out of that habit. That it can't be said of us that we use our tongue to lie and tell things that are not the truth. But there's something else I want you to think about as we think about what we ought not to use our tongue for. Not only should we not use our tongue to curse men or to lie, but we ought not to gossip and tell pack. I think about those that the Bible talks about in Acts 17:21. Where the Bible says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That sounds like people today. That could have been written today, couldn't it? You know anyone that does that? They like to spend their time in nothing else other than to tell or to hear some new thing. Tell packet. We ought not do that. God is always to test it. The packing of tales. I know that's the case because in Leviticus 19:16, turn to that passage with me. Leviticus chapter 19 and in verse 16, He says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Could it be said of you or me that we carry tales? Something happens that someone does or they say something, we can't wait to get home, almost break ourselves getting through the door to call someone to say, did you hear about so-and-so? Let me tell you about so-and-so. I hope that would not describe us. Back over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, and then verse 17. He that passeth by, I like this proverb. In fact, I have it underscored in my Bible. He that passeth by meddleth with strife belonging not to him. It is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Dog might get upset if you do that. Might get bit. But there's people that can't seem to keep their nose out of everyone else's business nowadays. Don't do that. If a matter does not involve you, if a matter does not involve me, don't get involved in it. Let other people settle their problems. We've got enough problems. We've got enough sweeping to do at home. Each of us does, than to try to meddle in the affairs of other people. I'm not talking about provoking someone to do what's right. I'm not talking about reproving along the way. That's one of the duties of a preacher, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine or teaching. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about meddling in strife that does not belong to an individual. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and then verse 15. 1 Peter 4, and then verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Then he talks about, yet if any man suffer as a Christian. We may suffer as a Christian, standing for truth. But don't suffer as a busybody, meddling in the strife that doesn't belong to you, in which you have no business being involved in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and then verse 11. Paul's writing to these Christians and he says this, "For we hear that there are some..." Now listen. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." You know, a good way to break the habit of being a busybody and a tailpacker and gossiping, he gives us a remedy for that in the next verse. Listen. "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ..." Now listen. "...that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." You see, it might be an indication that we have too much time on our hands and we need to get out and work if we're tailpacking. Work might take care of that. Get out and be involved in some other things. Working. Maybe we won't have time tailpacking and being busybodies and working not at all, which he says is disorderly. Those that are disorderly, he talks about in verse 6, "Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly." Is it a disorderly thing to tailpack and to gossip, being a busybody and not working? Sure it is. And he tells what to do regarding that problem. In James chapter 3 and verse 5. James chapter 3 and then verse 5. "Even so the tongue, as we talked about earlier, is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Then I want you to come back to Proverbs with me. Proverbs 26 and then verse 20. This is a lesson that we need to learn. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Now that's pretty simple. Pretty simple of a concept. We used to heat with wood. Growing up, we heated with coal and wood. And I tell you, the winters were pretty cold. And you'd wake up through the night or in the morning and it'd be so cold. And the water buckets would have ice on them. Because the house was so cold. You know why? Because coal and wood wasn't put on the fire. Where there's no fire, the fire goeth out. Now listen to this. "So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." Someone calls you to talk to you about so-and-so, don't get involved in that. And don't hesitate to say, "Now listen, I'm not going to get into that." Change the subject. Move on to something else. You know what will happen when enough people will do that? The strife will cease. No wood will be being put on that fire. It'll go out. The wise man is so penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Number four. We ought not use our tongue to flatter. Preacher, what on earth do you mean? Well, listen to me and you'll know what I mean. We ought not use our tongue to flatter. Now, here's some definitions of the word flatter. To try to please by complimentary remarks or attention. To praise or compliment insincerely, effusively, or excessively. To play upon the vanity or the susceptibilities of. To cajole, to wheedle, or beguile. That's to flatter. I'm not talking about not giving a word of encouragement or compliment on a job well done. That's not what we're talking about. That's not flattery. It would be flattering if you tried to encourage and you weren't sincere about it. You're just being hypocritical about it and not genuine about what you were saying. Come with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 12. Verse 3, Psalm 12, 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Did you know that was tucked away in your Bible? The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. In Proverbs 26, 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Proverbs 29:5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then verse 5, again, Paul writing to Christians. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, the apostle penned, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Again, there's a difference between paying a word of compliment and encouragement and trying to flatter with the mouth. I appreciate when individuals give me words of encouragement. I need it, and it goes a long way. And you need it. And it goes a long way with you. But folks, I'd rather a person not say a word as to say a word to me and not mean it. As to say, good job, well done, good sermon, but didn't listen to a word I said. How can you be sincere about that? So when you give a word of encouragement, when you consider others to provoke and to love and to good works, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, be genuine about it. Mean what you say and really care about it. So don't try to flatter. The Lord doesn't like that. And we ought not use our tongue for that. Last one. We ought not use our tongue for false accusations. We've already talked about lying, but I want to talk to you about false accusations. Sometimes individuals accuse others of doing things that just simply are not true. Much harm can be done by doing that. I think about Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. The Lord is giving this Sermon on the Mount it's referred to. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Yes, others may accuse you of things along the way. That's not true. Don't give up when that happens. The Lord said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. But may it never be said that we falsely accused someone else. In Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In Exodus 23:1, it says that they were not to raise a false report against their neighbor. Proverbs 6:19. A lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Number six on that list of six things which the Lord hates is occupied by a false witness that speaketh lies. A false witness that speaketh lies. False witnesses, remember, were sought against Jesus. Matthew 26:59, but their word didn't agree together. False witnesses were sought against Stephen as Acts 6 and in verse 13. We'll talk about. And you know what happened to the Lord. You know what happened to Stephen. And so that same thing might happen to us today. And when it does, don't give up on the Lord. Don't throw your hands up and quit. Cast all your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. And don't be guilty of using your tongue to accuse someone of things that they are not guilty of. I made it a practice long ago that if someone were to tell me something, that I made it clear to them, if you don't want that told, don't tell me. And this is what I mean by that. Not that I was going to tell Pat. But if someone tells me something about someone else and someone says, where did you hear that from? Then I'm going to tell them who told me. And you know that it stopped a lot of tailpacking along the way. Because a lot of people want to carry tales and say things about others, but they don't want people knowing that they're the ones said it. Well, then don't say it. And accusers have the right of knowing who's accused them. Don't use your tongue for lying and false accusations and cursing men. And the other things that we could add to that list. Next lesson I do for you, Lord willing, which will be next week, we'll look at some things in which we ought to use our tongue for. Maybe I went quick and you didn't get all these references. You let me know, and I think I still have some copies of the outline. Be happy to give that to you. In Psalm 39:1, the psalmist declared, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I hope that we'll purpose to use our tongues for good and not to the destruction of others and the damnation of our soul. Knowing that the Lord said, for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We need to remember that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not do that today? Someone says, well, I'll do that as life runs on. Well, life might run on for others, but it might not run on for you. This might be the last day that you have. This might be the last day that I have. Have you obeyed the gospel? There's only one way to become a Christian. And that will never change. Though the Lord was in His long-suffering, were to allow this earth to stand for 10,000 years or more from now, one will still become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24, the Lord commanded that. Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. By repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3, we'll perish if we don't do that. Confessing our faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And when you do that, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. He will add you to His blood-bought church, the Church of Christ, the only one you read about in the pages of the Bible, Acts 2:47. And like the eunuch of Acts 8, you can go on your way rejoicing. Know that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, heaven will be your eternal home. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You've turned back out to the ways of the world. And on the way, you've pulled up your anchor of steadfastness and drifted from the Lord. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you want to go to heaven, don't.